But yesterday, the local government and cooperation minister, Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, proclaiming 27 October 2021 is the date for local government elections. She said this is until there is a court order postponing the elections. They're saying that yesterday's announcement was merely the formality, the legal requirement, but the possibility still exists that elections will be postponed till February 2022. Remember, the Deputy Chief Justice, Dikgang Moseneke, in his independent report recommending that the municipal poll be postponed to no later than February next year. He led an independent panel that found that if elections go ahead in October, they would be free and fair, but they wouldn't necessarily be safe in the midst of a global pandemic. So it's highly unlikely that the national state of disaster would be lifted by October, meaning we're waiting on the Constitutional Court to decide or to let us know whether elections will happen in October or whether we will wait in February. And these have broad implications, not only for the law, for the constitution, but also for service delivery. Davi Scholtz is an independent elections analyst. I'm sure plenty of political parties, they're the first ones who are raising the alarm or either the concern or either give either the thumbs up to elections being postponed. Of course, the most important thing is voters. The most important thing are people who require service delivery. But political parties are keeping a very, very close eye on what the Constitutional Court will say, Davi.
Hey, Lester. Yes, absolutely. I think the political parties are waiting with bated breath. I mean, having been involved in a couple of these campaigns myself previously, the amount of just logistical organization that goes in place to set up and prepare for an election is just absolutely enormous. So, you know, to put up your 10 million posters in the month of October versus putting it up in the month of February are two very, very different processes that these election campaigns need to go through. So they'll be waiting with bated breath to hear what's happening to figure out how to drive the campaign. And I'm sure some of them will also have different preferences about when they would politically prefer this to take place.
We've had the EFF, for example, the UDM saying that they welcome the postponement of elections under the guise of them saying, look, let's keep people safe. But also politically, it may benefit a party like the UDM, like the EFF, to use more time to organize. I'm hearing something a little bit more opposite from the Democratic Alliance, for example, saying that they are ready to go. They would rather prefer having elections sooner rather than later. A postponement or October? Who stands to win and who stands to lose?
Honestly, Lester, I think it's very difficult to say. I've thought about this one a lot. And I think we have no recent electoral data, right? We have no recent polling. And we also have no real quantitative sense how voters have responded to the, you know, single most important political event recently, which has been the looting and riots, which happened a couple of weeks ago, right? And I think, you know, if you think about when the election could be and who could benefit, the timing moving or not, it's about, you know, whether a political party, I think, would benefit having it closer to that particular event or further away from that particular event. Mm. And, you know, one can construct arguments that, you know, any range of parties are either, you know, benefiting or not by having a later or earlier election. And I think it's pure speculation at this point. We honestly don't have data. And, you know, I, sorry for the long answer, but, you know, I often prepare pre-election expectations based on the electoral data that we're seeing from by-elections. And this is the first election in 8 years or so where I won't be doing that because we simply don't have a lot of by-election data. We don't have data close to this election. So honestly, it's the most uncertain election we've gone into in a long time. I don't think we can know what to expect. The preference of the voters is not known, or any sample of them is known. So, you know, once this election rolls around, I think it's going to be a really interesting one to watch because we just don't know what's going to happen.
Historically, wouldn't it benefit incumbent governments. In order to win an election in modern politics, it is up to a challenger to ensure that their voters get out and vote, and that incumbents are usually safe. How do you get the logistical operation to getting your supporters out to vote in the midst of a pandemic would leave some political parties worried?
Yeah, look, I think it's way more nuanced than that and quite complex, actually, right? So the thing about the situation we're in is that particularly if you talk about people who may not go vote for fear of getting sick, right? I think that's one of the biggest risks associated there with having the election this year, is that is going to be predominantly older voters who are potentially at risk of that effect, right? And if you have a deep look at the electoral data, the older voters, and also the older voters who are less likely to be vaccinated, are probably ANC voters, if you look, and that's just making some assumptions based on the little bit of data we have. So I think that, you know, that's one potential argument to say that the ANC may want the election to be postponed to ensure more of those older voters to get vaccinated, and also for the people to just feel a little bit more comfortable about the situation to go out and vote, because, you know, really, one of the backbones of ANC support is older voters, in townships and in rural areas are massive ANC supporters. Younger voters in those areas are more likely to vote EFF, still voting in ANC overall, but more EFF voters in the younger cohorts. So that's the one observation. But the other observation is also just about how voters feel about these events of looting and rioting and, you know, how it affects the political party support. And we have no data on this. And, you know, I could see two theories of the case. The one theory is that perhaps there's a large swath of voters who feel that this, you know, it's an attack on the ANC and on Cyril Ramaphosa by a faction within the ANC, and actually feel motivated to come out and vote in defense of Ramaphosa for the ANC, right? In response to this, I could see that argument holding sway. But I could also see an argument holding sway where people see that, the government bungled the response. It's because of ANC infighting, and they blame the ANC and therefore want to punish the ANC for what had happened. I just don't think we know which one of those two answers is the case. And so there's massive uncertainty. My guess is that probably it's better for the ANC to wait a little bit. And so I think they will be in favor of waiting. But who knows? And then from the DA perspective, I think who knows, right? They had terrible by-election results earlier in the year. My intuition would have been waiting more is better for them, but perhaps things have changed with these riots. Who knows?
Traditionally in South Africa, our local government elections, which is supposed to be the metric in which we judge performance at a local level, it's how we judge whether we believe our local municipality and whoever has formed a government there, whether they have performed. But what we've seen in previous elections is that the national politics, the national conversation, bleeds mostly into that conversation. And we can't see that being any way different this time round, especially when we have the recent instances of violence and looting. We have a coronavirus pandemic, which could also be used as a national metric to see how, for example, a national ANC government has performed. So we have a very long way before voters actually use the performance of the actual municipality as the metric for which party they cast their mark on when it comes to local government elections.
I completely agree with you, Lester. I think very few people actually understand that fact about South African politics. You know, there's an old adage from the United States which says that all politics is local. And I've, for a very long time, believed that the exact opposite is actually true in South Africa, and that all politics is national. Like the national conversation, our national support for the national brands and the national leaders drives by far the most of our voting behavior. You know, if you look at the voting patterns in national government elections, they look exactly like the voting patterns in local government elections, same people voting for the same parties, no matter what the local service delivery is like. And so I completely agree with you, and I think that the voting patterns in this election are highly likely to, once again, be dictated to by how the different parties are perceived at the national level, and by you know, how the brands and the events that have occurred in the last 6 months are kind of affecting voter perception at the national level. Of course, there are some voters and there are some communities, you know, and some examples where there's a big local issue and the community decides to vote for an independent or maybe, you know, turns against the DA or the ANC or whoever for a particular reason. But if we're looking at the numbers in aggregate in mass, you're completely correct. It's very much nationalized in South Africa, and we're a very long way away from having it be, you know, localized of government elections, in my view. And to be honest, you know, one can understand in South Africa, you know, the events in our history that have driven political and governance outcomes have, you know, been so national. You know, if you come out of the history of apartheid, out of the history of really big, important economic policy decisions being made at the center regarding black, you know, economic empowerment, in terms of action, whether it's, you know, in your perception, good or bad, you know, state capture happening centrally. So much of our politics is driven by what happens centrally and what has happened, you know, in the past centrally, that I can completely understand why that's the case. And of course, our political brands are larger than life, right? The ANC is an enormous political brand. I think the brand of the ANC will always supersede the brand of, you know, Councillor XYZ in Ward 123 or whatever.
And specifically the brand of Cyril Ramaphosa, no matter how many scandals, and even Cyril Ramaphosa, when was it, early last year, saying that the ANC stand as accused number one when it comes to corruption in South Africa. Although we saw that personal hit to the ANC, that didn't necessarily see Cyril Ramaphosa's own personal brand dwindle.
Exactly, and I think we're going to see, so I'm about to make a prediction, a very strong word, but an uninformed guess, because we have very little electoral data, but one of the things which I think could happen in this election, driven very much by perceptions around Cyril Ramaphosa, is the ANC holding up or doing a little bit better across the country, with the exception of KZN, where we know that is the one place in the country where Jacob Zuma was more popular than Cyril Ramaphosa, and where the ANC fared better previously, and may fare worse this time around. So I think KZN is the one place where the ANC could lose some steam in this election, versus kind of holding firm or improving in the rest of the country. I mean, we need data to be able to be firm about that. But that was one of the trends we saw in 2019, right? And I think also some of the recent developments may play into that trend. And it's all about that national trend around Cyril Ramaphosa.
And of course, the impact on independents, small little coalitions of independent candidates. You know, I'm looking at Musi Maimane's movement, saying that it's not a political party, they're driven by independent candidates. Essentially, these candidates being having to fund themselves. We look at small community organizations. I see some of the performance that some, for example, ratepayers associations in Knysna, they showed a lot of improvement in that area during by-elections. Those are the organizations and independent candidates who are most likely to suffer, because they don't necessarily have the logistical power that comes of being a fully fledged political party.
Yeah, exactly. And look, we see this in every election, right? Folks always talk about independence and this association or that association. But, you know, to mobilize large numbers of people requires a lot of money, a lot of organization, a lot of branding and messaging. And independents particularly get squeezed out over time as the campaign unfolds. Having said that, there is, you know, the one place in the country where independents, I've always thought it had a little bit more potential, is in the Western Cape, right? Because in the Western Cape, there are quite well-formed community organizations and smaller local parties, right? You know, I mean, in the rural Western Cape in particular, in places like the Southern Cape, like where, you know, the Karoo Gemeenskaps Party and other smaller parties have made inroads previously. And I think in this election in particular, if we think about the by-elections that took place earlier in the year, right, and then last year, the DA was bleeding off quite a lot of votes, particularly in the coloured community, to some of these smaller parties. And so I think there's a little bit of potential, particularly in the coloured community and parts of the rural Western Cape, for independents and also smaller parties to make some inroads based on the trends we observed earlier in the year, right? But again, given that the by-elections have stopped, we don't know whether those trends will carry through all the way to potentially February or October, right? which is why it's such an uncertain election. But that's the one thing I think to keep our eyes on is for independence in the Western Cape, particularly the rural Western Cape, could be interesting.
Davie Scholtz, independent elections analyst. How would elections affect you? How would it affect your community? Whether they be held on the 27th of October, as was proclaimed yesterday by the Cooperative Governance Minister, Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, or whether the Constitutional Court says we agree with the former Deputy Chief Justice, Tihang Motsoeneke, that while elections will be free and fair in October, they may not necessarily be safe still living amidst a global pandemic. But then another question remains, when will we ever be safe? If this is a pandemic that we're also going to have to live with, wave after wave of variant, for how long do we put out? Your thoughts, what will it mean for service delivery where you live? Are you ready for change where you live? A ward councillor that isn't doing their job, that's being unresponsive, and you want change where you live, and you can't wait for February. Let me know, 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567.